Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 17, Exodus chapter 17. We do not have fill in the blanks this morning on your handout, so I trust you'll take good notes. Something speaks to you. There's a thought that you can write down. Please do take good notes this morning. We'll be in Exodus 17, and we will stand in just a few moments, okay? So Exodus chapter number 17. Perhaps a strange passage of Scripture to begin a missions conference, but I do believe it will make sense as we go through the message. Now, how here in the West, it is not uncommon for us to see an old dilapidated pickup truck pulling a horse trailer. Reminds me of a story that I read about a cowboy. He had his dog in the back of his pickup truck. He was pulling one of those horse trailers with his favorite horse, and he didn't navigate the curve very well. And he went around the curve, lost control, and it was a disastrous accident. Wasn't but a short time later, a highway patrolman came by, and he came up on the scene, and he was an animal lover, and the first thing he saw was that horse, and he realized the serious injuries to that horse, and that the horse was not going to make it, and he took out his service revolver, and he put an end to the life of that horse. And then he walked around and he saw the dog, and the dog was miserable and was whining, and he took his service revolver and he had to end the dog's life. And then he walked to the front, and there was this cowboy. He had been thrown from the truck. He was laying over in the weeds, and the police officer, he said, "Hey, are you okay?" And the cowboy, he looked at the highway patrolman holding his pistol and still the smoke coming out of it. And the cowboy, even though he had multiple fractures, he looked at that trooper and he said, "Never felt better." There's a time to complain, and there's also not a time to complain. And the cowboy clearly understood the difference. And the trouble is, most of us, we do not understand the difference. We constantly hear complaints, especially this year, 2020. Oh, we hear parents complain about their children, and children about their parents, and husbands about their wives, and wives complain about their husbands. And we hear church members complain about their pastors, and pastors complain about the church members. And we hear church members complain about other church members. And that's why we have five sections, so you don't all have to sit together. I mean, it's just amazing how we complain. And complaining is as old as time. Have you ever stopped to just really think about this year 2020 and just sit in your easy chair at home or around your kitchen table and scratch your head and say, what happened this year? We could complain every day about something because of all the things that's happened in this year 2020. But as I was meditating and having my devotions and thinking about where we were going to go with our October missions month, the thought occurred to me is, what about all the ministries who have been adversely impacted and support for missionaries has declined? And churches do not have the same resources they once had. And what is happening to our missionaries? And has our complaining caused us perhaps to lose a commitment to our missionaries? If we don't go to reach the world, who will? And the missionaries are acting on our behalf to go and reach this world. And so they are imperative. Now, this morning's message is, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a brief look at the nation of Israel. And then we're going to look at a fascinating story about the nation of Israel. And then with that, we're going to introduce our theme and our emphasis for the month of October when it comes to missions. Now, here in Exodus 15 through 17, three chapters, we see really what I will call a microcosm of Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness. And throughout that journey, there were two constants. Constant number one is that God was committed to providing, and secondly, the Israelites continued to complain. Those are two constants. God would provide, and Israel would complain. In fact, really, as I look at the nation of Israel, there was a five-stage repetitive cycle. This thing went over and over again, just like a hamster wheel. It went something like this. Stage number one, we could say there were abundant blessings. Abundant blessings. God had blessed Israel with all of their needs. He had given them many of their wants. They were delivered from slavery. They passed through the Red Sea. They carried out gold and silver. The Israelites had more than they ever had when they went down in Egypt. Now, do you remember that story? The reason that Israel was in Egypt is there was a great famine in the land. God provided a way for them to be provided for during one of the dark famine periods in this earth. But during that time period, obviously there was a change in Pharaoh and leadership, and the Israelites became slaves, indentured servants. They were in bondage. And God abundantly provided for them in a way to escape. But in this cycle, there was abundant blessings. And then number two is what happened is the Israelites had unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. God gave them that abundance. And they came to expect continual abundance. Sometimes we begin to think that God's good gifts are ours by right. And we forget that it's really all about His amazing grace. We don't have a right to be here. But we're here this morning because of His amazing grace, His provision of abundant blessings. But sometimes we have this unrealistic expectation. God owes me. May I remind you, God owes us nothing. But thankfully, Jesus Christ came and gave His life. And as a direct result of that, we have amazing, abundant blessings. Well, in Israel, you had these abundant blessings. And then that went to unrealistic expectations. And then oftentimes is what happens is that moved to a bitter disappointment. A bitter disappointment. Now, when I think of the first 9 months of 2020... I can perfectly see that our expectations on January 1st were unrealistic. Our theme was compel. You remember that? Do you even remember we had these huge white letters across the front of the stage? I'm thankful that the Tucson landfill now is compelling garbage to come to the garbage. Compel! We had all these grandiose ideas, and we've laid out before you all of these amazing expectations for our year. Well, here we are 9 months later, and it seems like that God had other plans for our ministry. I stand before you still not understanding all of those plans. I know that maybe we could say it's been a purging time in our church, for certainly we have found out what members are going to be here and come back, and those who use this as an excuse to fall by the wayside. We know that it has challenged us when it comes to actually soul winning and witnessing to other people. And we haven't seen as many people saved this year as we would in a normal year. Oh, I tell you, it's been a tough year. It reminds me of what Chuck Swindoll wrote. He said this about this passage of scripture in Exodus 15 through 17. He says, "I'm sure when Israel left the Red Sea, went out into the wilderness, the people expected continued abundance and continued miracles that would keep them comfortable and safe and satisfied. They were riding the glory train to Canaan, and nobody imagined that it would grind to a halt along the way." Did he know about 2020 when he wrote this? 2020 came to a grinding halt. And what happens is because of all that, it could turn to a bitter disappointment. And this was evidenced in the life of Israel time and time again. As they entered into the wilderness, deserts, they found great difficulties. Life wasn't an easy street. Life has never been an easy street. Do you remember that even the Israelites said, "Listen, when we were able to eat garlics and leeks, and it was better being a slave in those conditions than it is being out here in the desert." And there was a bitter disappointment. Over and over again, this happened in that cycle with Israel. And then we see the fourth stage in that cycle is that what happened is that when they had this bitter disappointment, it led to what I will call an ungrateful grumbling. An ungrateful grumbling. They just began to grumble, and it began a groundswell. Over and over we read that the people complained or grumbled or murmured against Moses and the Lord. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough water. They didn't have enough clothes. They didn't have enough of this or that. And they grumbled, griped, complained. Whining was based in their disappointment. We all face disappointing times, and our inside is revealed when those difficult times come. Do we manifest murmuring and griping and complaining and grumbling? Over and over again, Israel went through this cycle. And then God would come along, and stage number five is that he would provide gracious provision. Gracious provision. He would hear their cry. He would hear what was going on, and he would graciously provide again. And even though we don't deserve it, even though we're still fussing and fuming and griping and complaining and murmuring, even though that is us, God makes a commitment to provide us with all that we need. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." There's a well-known phrase. It says this: those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. God's purpose in recording this lesson in Exodus 15, 16, and 17, it really is. It's a lesson for all of us. Let's not be Israel. Let's not be a church that has this five-stage cycle in our own church. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition." We have lessons that we can learn from this story. In Psalm 78, verse 32, the word of God says, "For all this they sin still and believe not his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble." What a sad testimony for a nation that had been repeatedly had their needs met. They repeatedly saw God provide, and yet that was their testimony. Oh, we gripe when we don't have what we need. And when God provides, we gripe because we don't have what we want. And when we have what we want, we gripe because we don't have something else. Oh, we Americans, we've become so enamored with material things, and we're defined by our material things. And the more we have, then we equate that somehow to God's blessing. I'm just so thankful this morning that I can stand before you and say, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. He's enough. Anything beyond that is a rich blessing. Who am I to gripe, complain, murmur, grumble when I have so much more than just Jesus Christ? But if all I had was Jesus Christ, that is enough. Now take your Bible and stand with me as we read a story here in Exodus chapter number 17. Oh, for those who are visiting with us, you say, that's one of the longest introductions to a message I hear. Well, how long are we going to be here? Well, actually, it's in the middle of my message, so it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. Exodus chapter 17, amazing story here. Drop down to verse number 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereupon. And Aaron and Hur stayed or held up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, Father, as we pause, if we do not have you as a part of our service, then we're merely going through a class like education or just a class to learn something. But Father, I ask that thy Holy Spirit would be real. The Holy Spirit that lives within us, who know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that he might prick our minds and that he might purge our hearts. And Father, I pray that every one of us will be challenged by your word, and that your word would not come back empty. Father, may we learn something about how we can make a commitment, just like Aaron and Hur, to our missionaries. Father, I pray that you will bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I find what I would say, there's a theme in this passage of scripture that we just read. I'll say it's like this. It's God's commitment that he was going to give victory from defeat. It looked like the Israelites were going to be defeated, and out of that defeat, God gave victory. Our theme for the next 4 weeks, specific to our missions emphasis, is simply going to be this: committed just like Aaron and Hur. Committed just like Aaron and Hur. The theme comes from this passage of scripture. Now, we've already seen two missionary presentations this morning. There has been music and there's been special music. So I want to assure you that my message is short and very direct to the point. We, as Tucson Baptist Church, we must demonstrate that Aaron and Hur commitment that they demonstrated when Moses was in battle and trying to lead the people. Aaron and Hur supported Moses. We must be a church that supports our missionaries. They need us. It's imperative that we do not become weak in our endeavor to make a difference in reaching the lost with the gospel message throughout this world. Do you realize that even this morning, there are countries like Myanmar where there have been pastors that we have met scattered throughout the entire country that are dependent on the prayer support of people like Tucson Baptist Church. There are missionaries in China who are serving this day in amazingly difficult circumstances, who will have a home Bible study, a house church, an underground church, and they will open the Word of God and they will teach people about Jesus Christ. And in doing that, it is imperative that we're able to give to keep them on the field. We are vital to missions. Allow me to give you quickly a backdrop to our story that we just read. There was an attack on Israel by a group of people called the Amalekites. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim, the Bible says. Now, here's what's interesting. I love being able to share with you some insights about the Word of God. This was Israel's first ever battle. They'd never been to war. They had never been in a fight like this. They only knew being slaves. Think about that. Remember that when they complained and murmured and griped in one of those five stages while they were in the desert, God said, fine, if that's the way you're going to be, guess what? All of you are going to die over the age of... All of you over the age of 20, you're going to die. And so a whole generation died. There was no one who had ever experienced war. There's no one who had ever killed someone in battle. And here we read in this story that Moses said to Joshua, Joshua, you're now the general. So General Joshua, I want you to go out through all of the 12 tribes here. I want you to go out through the 4 to 6 million people that we have here. And I want you to put together an army. The Bible says, choose us out men. Recruit an army to fight. However, Moses says, I'm going to go up. I'm going to stand on top of the hill and I'm going to watch you fight. The strange strategy of Moses. Now, we have a lot of people who've served in the military. As a matter of fact, if you served in the military, why don't you stand for just a moment? If you've served in the military in any one of the branches, just look at this. Now, you stay standing. How many of you would agree this was some strange strategy? All right, you've never trained ever. You've never trained 1 minute ever for battle. And so you're just going to go out, pick some people, and we're going to go to battle. And the ultimate general, the commander-in-chief, I'm going to stand up on top of a hill. I'm going to watch how you guys do. Is this a good strategy? No. Hey, let's thank all those who have served in the military this morning. What a strange strategy. But strangely enough, it worked. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Bible says Israel prevailed. But whenever his hands got weary and he his hands lowered, then Amalek prevailed. And when Moses' hands became heavy, the Bible says Aaron and Hur, they put a stone underneath each one of his hands. And he sat there and they stayed or held up his hands, the Bible says. I see a couple important lessons here. And when I look at this, we all need someone to support us. Don't we need an Aaron and Hur in our life? Every single one of us, we need someone that's going to support us. Moses had two people, Aaron and Hur, that supported him. We need an Aaron and Hur. Now listen, we have 76 missionaries that we've made a commitment to support. We'd like to take on 4 more and have 80 missionaries that we support. And for those who are visiting with us, we usually take on a missionary for a larger amount than the $50. We usually give several hundred dollars a month to missionaries. We want to be a church that supports our missionaries. Do you know that? We could say this missionary, that missionary. I'll give you a real life example. Just last week, we received an email from missionary Hung Kim. Where is Hung Kim? What country? Myanmar. Myanmar is right beside India, used to be called Burma. Hung Kim's a missionary our church supports. We've been there to help him and many of you. There's been over 40 different church members that's been to Myanmar to see this ministry, be a part of this ministry. He sent us an email. They haven't been able to have a college. They had to cancel the first semester of college because in Myanmar, the country is shut down. The airports are closed. There hasn't been a single international flight into the country of Myanmar since March of this year. The airports are still closed. No one is going in or out of the country. And Dr. Kim, he emailed us and said, listen, we just need some help. We're going to try to do Zoom classes with our students that are scattered throughout the country. And we need to purchase 2 licenses to do this particular type of Zoom. And he gave us the price of that and said, is there any way your church could help? There's a missionary that says, listen, can you hold up my hands? Can you help us? We don't want to lose this connection. We still need to teach our students. And so there was a need that was presented to us, and we're trying to help with that need. But in that, I began a correspondence with Dr. Kim, and in that, he said that the government just released, and we're going to be able to go back and have services. And he was excited, and then he said the government closed it down. We weren't even able to have our first service, and the government said no more gatherings. And so what he and his staff are doing, you know what they're doing? They're going to people's homes and holding services every day of the week. We need to hold our hand out. Hey, listen, we don't think about that. We're sitting in air conditioning in comfortable seats. We're going to go out and either go home and eat a nice meal or go out to a restaurant after this. And yet right now, today, in the country of Myanmar, Pastor Kim and those that work with him, they're going house by house by house, having services just so they can meet the needs of the church people. We need to hold their hands up. We need to support them. One of the things that he doesn't and should not worry about is there's going to be enough support so he can pay his bills. And so I say we need to support missionaries. Everyone needs someone to support us. And secondly, we need to lift our hands and hearts in praise, and we'll win the battle. We need to worship the Lord. Quit complaining. Quit griping. Quit mumbling. Quit murmuring, or whatever word you want to use. I say we need to lift up our hands and praise to the Lord, and let Him know He's important to us. Amen. You remember that cycle? Abundance. And then that led to expectation. Because God's abundantly blessed me, then I expect that. And then there's disappointment when there's trials in life like 2020. And then there's grumbling because of it. And then God swoops in and He provides provision. How do we as a church overcome it? Let me give you three thoughts and then I'm done. And you're going to get out early today. Here's thought number one. Remember what God did yesterday. Remember what God did yesterday. What do I mean by yesterday? You know what? He saved you. He baptized you. You've been discipled. He's given you a home. He's given you food. He's given you a vehicle. He's given you a great job. He has given you a beautiful family. He has given you children. He has given you grandchildren. And for a few in here, He's given you great grandchildren. May I just tell you, we serve an amazing God. And it's so easy for us to gripe and grumble and murmur and complain, when we should stop and say, listen, thank you, God, for what you did yesterday. I'm thankful for Him. Has God ever failed you? Has He ever left you high and dry? Has He ever failed to meet your needs? No, no, no. And He never will fail to meet your needs. I love Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When in doubt, when you are worried, don't complain. Reflect on what God has done in the past. Man will fail you, but I assure you this morning, God will never fail you. We fail to remember how great God is, how great salvation is. And I just ask you this morning, remember what God did yesterday. Number two, trust what God's going to do tomorrow. Trust what God will do tomorrow. We live in 2020, and it's just amazing. In the news cycles, we hear this and that, and it looks more bleak each day. But you know what? I'm a child of the King of Kings. He's got this. And whatever battle we may have to go through, whatever life lessons we have to go through, God still got this. Do you realize that this virus that was created in China and it has somehow spread throughout the entire world? Did you know God knew that was going to happen? It did not catch Him by surprise. And here's what I love about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust. Trust in the Lord when you feel like it. Trust in the Lord when there's money in your bank account. Trust in the Lord when the car's running right. Trust in the Lord when the family is in order. Trust in the Lord when everybody loves me at church. Trust in the Lord when the pastor shook. Oh no, I don't shake hands anymore. Trust in the Lord when the pastor nodded at me and smiled. Trust in the Lord when we have church fellowships. Trust in the Lord. No, that's not what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And then He says this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust what God will do tomorrow. And finally this morning, worship who God is today. Remember yesterday, trust that God's got tomorrow, but today, this first Sunday of October in 2020, worship who God is today. You cannot whine and worship at the same time. And I would like for you to write this on your mirror at home. Take a Sharpie, write on your mirror. It'll wash off eventually. Put it on a 3x5 card. Put it on the steering wheel of your car. Put this in the flyleaf of your Bible and commit this to memory. You cannot whine and worship at the same time. We need some people that's willing to worship and not whine. Lifting our hearts to God in praise, adoration, and gratitude, it lifts us from the mire of our condition, and it transports us to the place of strong faith and an unswerving confidence in our God. Our missionaries depend on the committed, not the complaining. We must uphold the hands of our missionaries who faithfully serve this day, who have preached the word of God all around this world already this day, who are dependent upon our prayers, our financial support, church, family. We must uphold the hands of our missionaries like Aaron and Hur. Deeply immersed in meditation during a church service, I read how the Italian poet Dante Alighieri failed to kneel at the appropriate moment in a service. His enemies hurried to the bishop and demanded that Dante be punished for his sacrilege. And it is written that Dante said this: "If those who accused me had had their eyes and minds on God as I had, they too would have failed to notice the events around them, and they most certainly would not have noticed what I was doing." Church family, we need to be committed like Aaron and Hur. I want to ask you a question. Who will you be, Aaron or Hur? Would you be an Aaron and a Hur? How do I do that, Pastor Armstrong? There's three ways. Remember what God did yesterday. Trust what God's going to do tomorrow. Worship Him today. Worshiping Him today means my heart and my life must be right. Has there ever been a time I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? Has there ever been a time that you acknowledged that you were a sinner, and that your sins would separate you from God and send you to a place called hell, and that you ask Jesus to save you from those sins? If you've done that, can you say amen? Amen. If you've not done that, you could do that today right where you're seated. You could ask God to forgive you of your sins, come in and be your Lord and Savior. If you've already done that, shouldn't we be worshiping Him today? That would be amazing for us to do. Not ashamed, not dependent upon my bank account, not dependent upon my car or my home or my clothes, but I just love God so much that no matter what happens, I'm still going to worship Him. In worshiping Him, that means I have a right relationship with Him. Then that means that there's some responsibilities, and I need to be an Aaron and a Hur. There's a battle. There is a spiritual warfare going on, and that is trying to absolutely destroy this world. Satan's doing a good job at it. I've got to be an Aaron and a Hur. I've got to uphold the hands of the missionaries. How do I do that? I pray for them. I give so that they can stay serving. And I, whenever I have the opportunity, I go and encourage that missionary. Folks, missionaries need Tucson Baptist Church. Will you be an Aaron and a Hur? Would you be willing to make a commitment for a whole year that I'm going to support worldwide missions through Tucson Baptist Church? Let's worship Him today. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Pastor Jason to come back, and we're going to sing that last congregational song. And here's why I want to do this. And then we'll have our invitation time. But here's why I want to sing that last congregational song. It's all about worship. Can we worship today? Remember what God did yesterday. You just said with an amen that He saved you. Amen? Amen? Remember that. Don't lose that. Hey, listen, trust God. He's got tomorrow, but He wants to hear us worship right now. So could we worship together? Let's sing together. Let's worship Him together as we sing this, the last congregational song that we sang. But all of us, the words will be on the screen. Let's all do this together.
Let's lift it up on this verse. Who has held the oceans in His hand?
Who has held the oceans in His hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful men? Kings and nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice. us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Sing it out on this next verse. Who has given counsel to the Lord?
God today. That's what we just did. We worshiped him together. If you have never made that most important decision, Pastor Howard will be down front right after the service. I'll be in the lobby, and if we can help you in any manner, you have a special prayer request, a special need, one of us would love the opportunity to pray with you and be an encouragement to you. Now, church family, let's take the message. Let's not go through motions. Let's take the message, dissect it, think about it. How can I be an Aaron and a Hur? And let's all be an Aaron and a Hur this coming week. It is great to see you. Those who are visiting with us, thank you for being here today. I just want to encourage you. Tonight, we're having Courtyard Connections. That's at 6 o'clock right after growth groups and our evening service after Spanish service. So that's at 5. So you come for your growth group at 5. The evening service will be here at 5. And then at 6 o'clock, we have dinner on the grounds. And so that's for the whole church family. We haven't done this at all this year. This is our first time this year. Now, we had a love banquet in February, and some of you came and didn't come because that was a paid event. This is free to the whole church. We're having Courtyard Connections, 6 o'clock tonight. You be back. We're going to have a meal together. It's going to be beautiful, and they'll be cooking while the service is going on, and we're just going to enjoy each other, encourage one another. No griping, groaning, complaining, murmuring, all those kind of bad words, okay? We're just going to have a great time remembering what God did yesterday. We're not worried about tomorrow. We're trusting him, and we're going to worship the Lord today. Amen? Yes. Let's do that. All right. So who's closing in prayer this morning? Joe Jones. Joe Jones, if you'll come this way, Joe Jones is going to close us in a word of prayer. Right after he prays, you'll be dismissed. Again, Pastor Howard will be down front. I'll be in the lobby. If you're visiting with us, if you would take that Connect card, we have a table in the lobby. Those who are working on our VIP team, they have a gift for you. We would love to get to know you. Thank you again for being here this morning. Brother Joe.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it is an exciting time to be a Christian. It's an exciting time to be a member of Tucson Baptist Church. We thank you for October, for it is Missions Emphasis Month. Lord, we thank you for your goodness that you've given to us. May we be dedicated. Lord, may we be the Aaron and the Hur for these missionaries. We've got 76 we represent. We want to take on, we will take on four, Father, but we need the help of every single corporate member. May we be an Aaron and Hur to our pastoral staff, Father. May we be an Aaron and a Hur to someone we work with this week, someone we're going to cross paths with. Lord, we thank you for the message we've heard today. May we worship you. Father, may we be an example in our communities. Lord, we love you. We ask you that you just be with us, keep us safe. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us. In Jesus' name, amen.